This segment of the Chris and Amy Show is brought to you by Frosty's Ice Sculptures, the coolest decorations in town.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, hit it.
It's the Chris and Amy Show.
You know who it is.
Also, if you didn't know, this is called the show.
Now, Amy Markscore's Chris Ronji on KMOX.
Oh my God, it's almost Christmas. Did you know?
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. It is the Chris and Amy Show. We got Hancock and Kelly with us. We're going to get to these two guys in a minute, but we need to give you the...
He almost said knuckleheads.
I did not almost say knuckleheads.
It was at the tip of your tongue.
Say dingus? He always calls people a dingus.
I do.
What is that?
That's a good question.
I think it's...
Is it a doofus?
No.
Dirty Dingus McGee. That was a poem.
Is it related to a dingleberry? Oh.
No, it is not. No, it is not.
It sounds related, though, Michael.
No, but I think it is, if you really thought about it, it's exactly what you think it would be.
A doofus.
No.
Charlie Mingus.
I see what you're saying.
Charlie Mingus was a great saxophonist back in the day.
Really?
Is that right?
Yeah.
You know, Annie Fry had over on 97.1, she had a Twitter poll about what was the sexiest instrument, a cello, a guitar, or a saxophone?
Well...
A cello, guitar,
or a saxophone?
I said cello because to me that's sexier, but I know that's not what
in the How many people voted for? Why? Okay, hold. Let's get to this in a second. Can we do the whole thing? 314-436-7900.
What a sex symbol he is.
Yo-Yo
Reach
Ma
the show.
Is a hot tamale, I'll tell you that.
We're streaming on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Download it to your phone and listen to us wherever you are. Cardinals baseball, you can get that when the season is going, and you can get our podcasts. And you can send us a voice message directly from the app.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everybody will be talking about.
Well, the deadline to avoid a government shutdown is approaching today. Will the House get a deal done? We will find out.
And more issues in the city of St. Louis, not only with the St. Louis County Jail, but also with the North City Grant Program that is being denied $1.7 million funds.
The Blues lose to Tampa Bay, and now they will take on the Florida Panthers. That will be tonight. On the show today, we're going to talk to Brad Underwood, who is the basketball coach at Illinois, because the Bragging Rights game is this weekend. We talked to Dennis Gates earlier in the week, and we're going to talk to Brad Underwood today. Danon Hughes will join us to talk about the Chiefs. We got Klabes, Scott Jagow. A lot of good stuff on the show today. And the No Prize Pick'em Challenge happens at 12:30 today. We have yet to select a listener participant. So if you want to pick some NFL games with us just for fun, you don't get anything if you win. But you get to compete against Amy, me, and former Cardinals closer Trevor Rosenthal. So he will be on the show. And that'll be at 12:30 if you... want to do it. If you're available, send us a text message with your name at 314-436-7900. But John Hancock, Michael Kelly here, gentlemen. Is this government going to shut down or what?
I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
All right. Well, thanks for coming
and by
in.
By the way, at the beginning of this week, this wasn't even a consideration. This wasn't even on the table. This all developed as a result of what appears to be now what's going to be the fourth branch of government, which is the world's richest man, who went to Twitter yesterday, acting like the former and future president, essentially threatening everybody and killing this bill, and really laying the groundwork for Donald Trump already not delivering on his promises. You guys will remember when we had the hurricanes, et cetera, when President Trump was running, he said, you know, if you guys elect Joe Biden, there's no way that he will make sure the resources go to these red states. Well, who's killing the resources to the red states now? It's Donald Trump, and he's not even there. Buckle up, folks. 4 years of this stuff.
Yes, Amy?
Oh, no, I was making a sigh motion. But what do you have to say, John?
I don't have much to say, Amy. I think they'll likely get a deal done. This needs to pass. It's a debt ceiling. Now, Donald Trump wants to do away with a debt ceiling. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't think it's the worst idea I've ever heard. But for now, they're going to get something passed today, I do predict. And, you know, often wrong, never in doubt. So I'm going to say that the debt ceiling bill is going to pass today, and they're going to fund the government.
John, I dislike government bloat. I do think we're wasting hundreds of millions of dollars. We see government inefficiency and inability to spend funds wisely, whether we're talking about the St. Louis Public Schools,
right,
the Francis Howell School District, my goodness. So we're talking little government boards mishandling millions of dollars. I think the federal government is as well. I think we can become more efficient. Those are great principles, ideas. They're conservative ideas to trim the size of government. However, conservatives are also concerned with process. Historically, conservatives have been more concerned with process than result. How concerned, if at all, are you about the closeness and influence that Elon Musk has with the president-elect?
Well, you know, for the better part of a decade or more than a decade, we've witnessed in this country an expansion of the executive branch's authority disproportionate to the other branches of government, and that's not healthy. And so now you inject this other figure, and Musk is, you know, doesn't hold an official position, but he is, you know, tangentially, he's part of the executive branch now, and you look at what the executive branch is wielding and the controlling what is happening in Congress, rendering Congress, you know, pretty moot in so many ways. I don't think that's healthy for our system of government. Our system of government was designed to check ambition against ambition, as the founders wrote, and that's not happening now, and that's not good for the government structure we have.
How do you think people who voted for Donald Trump or Republicans, how do you think they feel about the idea of Elon Musk almost unilaterally coming in and saying, get rid of this, don't want this, we should do this, hey, stop voting for these people if they do this? Do you think that is a, hey, we knew Elon was part of Trump's orbit, so therefore, whatever Trump wants to do, whatever power he gives Elon, we signed up for that? Or do you think they're looking at it like, what the hell, man?
Oh, I definitely think they're like, what the hell, man? And in particular, I think this whole Elon Musk thing and the power he's displayed over the last day or so, whether intentional or unintentional, it shows that he has become a part of this administration. When you look at it, I think the Republicans have to be extremely nervous. You have Josh Hawley out there trying to say after this election, hey, we're the party of the working people. We're the ones out. And now you have the world's richest man who's out there saying, let them eat cake on many of the issues. I don't think this is going to jive. And fortunately, I think people are going to start to realize it quickly as all the things that Donald Trump promised, fixing the problems in the with the hurricanes, doing away with taxes on tips, no taxes on Social Security, bringing back an economy, lowering prices on groceries. He's already saying, I can't do that stuff, but I'm moving forward with the corporate tax cut. Oh, I can't do that stuff to bail out Carolinas anymore. I think it's all going to cause some problems with some well-intentioned people who voted for Donald Trump.
I know I get that money's always had influence, but it's never been quite so brazen as to have the president of the United States linking arms with a billionaire openly, just almost as if they're co-presidents. If the shoe were on the other foot, and this were Biden or Kamala Harris linking arms openly with a George Soros or a Bill Gates, would Republicans lose their mind and say, oh, my gosh, Bill Gates isn't president, George Soros isn't president?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, Musk is interesting in addition to the fact that he's the world's wealthiest man. How much of that fortune has been built on government subsidy? Mm-hmm. And so you're looking at a guy here who's certainly the SpaceX business and certainly the electric car business, either through subsidy or incentives from the government, has helped build that business. So that's an additional concern.
See, that's my issue with him. Well, I have multiple issues with him. But one of them is he has gotten billions in money from the federal government, yet rails against the federal government giving people money. It's okay for him,
yeah,
but not for everybody else.
Yeah. Well, suddenly he's anti-socialism.
Oh,
but
yeah.
When he was on bended knee to Barack Obama, can you give me a $700 million loan?
Oh, yeah.
I have this idea. I'm not going to make it. And then has the audacity this week to just say, we need to cut these subsidies. We can't continue to help these companies, et cetera. Like you said, I mean, it's so transparent that it's unbelievable that people don't want to.
It is very obvious.
Yeah.
If you're paying any attention at all, this is so clear and obvious. That's what he's doing.
So I'm going to do 180 because I did want to ask you guys about this.
Right.
And it'll be fun. We can pick on everybody this morning. Pretty devastating piece in the Wall Street Journal about the diminished capacities of Joe Biden and how those around him, his closest aides, openly lied and covered for him even as early as the early months of 2021, the beginning of his presidency, and he was still going to run again. Whoever wants to jump in first, like I said, we saw it with our own eyes. This piece was, I mean, you have reliable sources, many with names, saying this was bad.
Well, the truth is coming out, and it is bad. It's not the first time we've seen presidents that aren't completely there being propped up by the people around him. Many people think Ronald Reagan was in that case the last year or so. And then, of course, you have
Reagan.
He was losing his doggone mind. He didn't even know where he was at, and he was peeing his pants the last year of his presidency.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the truth. But anyway, he's not the only person. But as we look at this, it's really quite startling to see that people, remember when they were saying he's the sharpest he's ever been in meetings?
Oh, my gosh. Now, I can't keep up with him.
Yeah, two years before the election, I didn't think he was going to run. And then I acquiesced about a year out from the election. And it was my buddy who said all along, this guy's not all there. It's not going to happen. And now the truth is coming out. And I think it's probably more reflective on the family of Joe Biden than anything.
Yeah, let me ask you this question. It's for both of you or whoever wants to answer. I wonder if, and maybe we've had this conversation before, I know we've had it on the air, but I don't know if it's been with you guys, if he had come in for the 2020 campaign and said, look, I'm here because we need a change, obviously, after everything that just happened, miserable 4 years, I'm going to come in, do this for one term, and then move on. If he made that the deal, if he told people, that's what I'm going to do, I'm going to do my 4 years and get out, would that have been better for them? Better for the party ultimately?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. had he said a year out that he wasn't going to run for, I mean, he didn't have to come in and say and make himself a lame duck. So that's the argument you're making.
Right, right.
I don't think that would be advisable. But a year out,
but halfway through or something,
18 months out, he should have said, I'm not running. Throw the process open. Not saying that they would have won,
right?
Because Biden's numbers were bad, and the incumbent party, when you've got those kind of approval numbers and you're the incumbent party, you usually lose.
Right.
But they certainly would have had a better chance of winning had he done that.
And I have the benefit of, 2 months since the election to look back at it. I'm not sure there's anybody who could have won for the Democrats. I think post-pandemic, post that Trump administration, you know, the injection of money that we made into the change that went on. I'm not sure there was a Democrat that could have pulled this together, period.
That's Michael Kelly. We've got John Hancock with us as well. Always on a Friday morning to start our show. It's Amy Marks-Kors and Chris Ranji on KMOX.
Chestnuts roasting.
Nat King Cole. See?
So good.
I knew who it was.
You did
a great job. I actually won yesterday.
I thought I won yesterday.
What did you play?
I won.
Well, we played a Christmas song game, and I won because I knew all the things.
Hey, John, look at Pajeski. Yeah. Who won? Being
sung by Amy Marks-Kors won.
That's right. I won all four Christmas games.
By a lot, right?
No, this was the closest.
It was rigged and stolen. I won.
It looked a bit more like a Chiefs
victory.
Everybody
knows that I won.
It was close, and the ref liked me, but...
The one I heard, you blew it away.
Out of the water.
Yeah.
Okay,
I mean, you knew that one
out
movie
of the water.
That nobody's ever seen before. That was impressive.
You just pulled a real Mike Shannon just now. That was.
You didn't have anything from Jingle All the Way in the contest, did you, Peach?
No. That, it's, but John Hancock's about to have his
annual
Christmas tradition,
yeah,
which is Jingle All the Way.
Yeah, yeah.
My dad likes Jingle All the Way.
It's a great movie.
I think it's a dad movie.
It's a great movie. I mean, some of the finest. Arnold Schwarzenegger's in that.
Oh, he's
Sinbad. I mean, some of the finest actors.
I love Sinbad.
How about this? So when I was at the sports station here in town,
Phil Hartman,
we had Sinbad on the show.
Yeah.
And he was in town performing or something.
And Lindenwood.
We were on site at Twin Peaks. We were doing a remote at Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
You know that place?
What does that stand for?
It's basically Hooters.
On Chesterfield Parkway.
It's not based. I shouldn't say it's basically Hooters. No. We were at the one off Hanley.
Oh, okay.
Hanley.
Okay.
So anyway,
yeah.
We told him, like, yeah, we're doing this remote, so you don't have to come all the way down here. He's like, no, I'll come down. So he came to where we were, and he sat with us for like an hour.
Unbelievable.
He was on with us for at least 45 minutes.
Sinbad's done a few movies with Phil Hartman. They're hilarious together.
Comedic genius, Sinbad.
Genius.
Oh.
So good.
Oh, you're thinking of House Guest is awesome.
Oh, Maple Ridge. Yeah, oh, Maple Ridge.
Yeah, what a great,
Cabin
great
Six.
Movie. I love it so much. And by the way, you mentioned Arnold.
Yes.
Did you see the video of him getting into a car? It was like 2 or 3 days ago. He's looking real...
Well, he's in a movie.
It's making me sad.
He's playing an old.
Is he playing an old man?
Yes.
So he was pretending to be old?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oof. Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah, no.
I'm getting worried about
Arnold's
him.
Doing fine.
You know who else got a little puffy? Dean Cain.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's seen Dean Cain?
Right. Well, I said that because we were talking about Superman because of St. Louis, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Superman.
Gunn. Oh, James what? Gunn, the director, St. Louisan.
Directing?
Yeah, the new trailer for the Superman movie coming out in July.
Huh. Yeah.
It dropped yesterday. It looks great.
And my friend Noah and I were talking about how we both, in separate countries, grew up watching Lois and Clark with Dean Cain and Terry Hatcher. Yeah. Loved that show. And she's like, Dean Cain was really handsome. And so she Googled him and she went, oh, what happened? I think he just got old. A little puffy. Maybe
a little
bloated.
Puffy.
He might be bloated. It's his face. I neck up is what I saw. I think maybe he was having a bad day. Too much sodium.
I can't stand superhero movies.
Really?
Interesting.
I don't like them.
I don't like them.
Really?
Like, I like the original Superman with Christopher Reeves and Marlon Brando's in it, too, isn't he? Or is that
Margot Kidder, not Marlon Brando.
No, they both
Marlon
are in
Brando's
it.
Marlon Brando's in it, too.
Marlon Brando's in Superman?
Yeah, he plays
the villain.
Superman. No, he plays Superman's dad.
Oh.
He plays
Kylo Ren.
He plays Jor-El.
Oh, Jor-El,
which was the actual first name of Whitey Herzog.
Jor-El Whitey Herzog?
Oh, no, Dor-El.
Oh.
And then Superman is Kal-El.
I can't, I don't watch these movies.
Oh, my gosh. Kal-El, Jor-El, and Dor-El.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Super and Christopher Reeve in interviews years ago, it wasn't too long after Superman came out, it might have been like 4 or 5 years, was talking about Marlon Brando on set where he was like, yeah, he just came out taking a paycheck.
Yeah.
He didn't really put a whole lot of effort into it, but they wanted a star in the movie.
Yeah.
Because they kind of wanted to cast an unknown to be Superman. So they wanted some kind of star, so they got Marlon Brando to play his dad. So he's in the first, like, 20 minutes of it.
You know, but they Superman's dog's name is Crypto.
Which is ironic.
Right. That'd be like Matt Pajeski naming his dog Cashew.
Or peanut butter. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. This guy will die.
The nuts. Yeah. You got the nut thing.
What if you named your dog Cashew? I'd be like, well, that's kind of dark,
I would
Matt.
Never do that.
Well, it might give him a little bit of a... it might inoculate him peanut allergies.
That's fairly recent, right?
It's an American phenomenon.
We didn't have that back when I was a kid. There were peanuts everywhere. They'd give them to you on the airplane.
They probably did. The kids were dying and nobody knew why.
Oh. Yeah.
No, it's a new phenomenon. Nowhere else in the world do they have peanut allergies.
It's got to be all the
processed
food,
junk.
Food stuff we're putting in the food out there.
The stuff in the food.
Yep.
I met Christopher Reeve.
You did?
Yeah. Here in St. Louis.
Wow. Awesome Superman.
Union Station. It was after his accident.
Oh.
He had significant, I think his doctor was here at Wash U, BJC.
Okay.
And he would raise money and met him here, and it was a powerful moment.
You really should, if you haven't, and this is a suggestion to listeners, if you have not seen that documentary that came out a couple of months ago about him called Superman, it is really good. I highly recommend watching
really?
It.
Really?
Still got another segment with Hancock and Kelly. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
When you're 40, they just give you no options. I went, because my ankle, like I was limping for like a month out of nowhere. And the doctor, he brings me and he shows me an x-ray of my ankle. He's like, yeah, your ankle's just worn out. Just see that dark area? Ugh, it's all hardened. And he goes, well, there's things you can do. You can stretch. For a half hour a day, you should stretch your ankle. I was like, how long will that take to fix it? He's like, no, you just do that now.
So, Louis C.K.?
Yeah.
Yeah, about an ankle injury. We were laughing about it because when I walked in this morning, I came bearing bad news.
Mm.
As you recall, Michael Kelly, as a fellow faller, you fell in the bushes and then you fell somewhere else.
What are we, like three weeks removed from your fall?
About 3 weeks removed from my fall. Wow. And I fell on Y down. I stepped on one of those darn gumballs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dangerous, those things.
Dangerous. And I fell. I was just on my back. I was stunned.
Like a
turtle. This really hurt. Yeah. So I got up. I finished the run, which was like another 3 miles. I'm like, okay, it'll be sore in the morning. And it was sore in the morning.
Yeah.
And I just need to keep running, keep it moving. So over the course of the next 5 or 6 days, I probably put another 50 miles on that ankle.
Ooh.
As one does, John.
As one does. Because it goes away. 50. It usually goes away.
In a week. Yeah.
So then I was like, you know, it's not really getting better. And I said, you know, I was talking to Mason Jar. I'm like, I'm not really sleeping at night. He's like, you're not sleeping.
That's
like,
no good.
Yeah, I was like, my ankle hurts really bad. He's like, well, that's not good. And that is when I realized I don't think it's supposed to keep you up at night. That's a little bit of a new one for me. But it wasn't black and blue, right? Like, it didn't look horrible. It was a little swollen, but whatever. Anyway, it wasn't getting better, so I finally got it looked at. Guys, I've got a low ankle sprain and a high ankle sprain, 5 little tears in the ligaments down low,
dang,
and a second grade 2 tear and the ligament in my shin, which he said it's
your
not
shin.
Severed. Yeah, it's like the one that goes up your leg in the front. He says,
all from this gumball?
Yes.
Well, surgery? in the subsequent running.
No surgery because it's not severed.
Okay.
But I'm out. I mean, I am like a no.
Do you have
I'm
a boot?
No running. No, I know a boot. It's a controversial topic. He did not want me to wear a boot. He said some motion is good because the straight forward and back actually doesn't hurt. It's I have zero lateral mobility. So even going for a walk, if I step on a stick funny, I can re-injure it. But he doesn't want it completely just to heal stiff without any movement. So I can do like wrap it.
What? You can do what?
I can wrap it.
Wrap it.
Which it gives me a little bit, just for a little bit.
Are you just supposed to, you're not supposed to put weight on it? You're not supposed to walk on it?
I can put weight on it, but it's, you don't want to have any lateral movement. So no running, even pool swimming, you have to be careful because, you know, when you're kicking. And so I don't know what I'm going to do. He said after a little bit of rest, maybe try like a stationary bike and then see if you can do 10 minutes. Then stop, see if you have pain. And then he said it's going to be an incremental journey back.
How long is it going to take?
It could be super quick. Like if I were 20 and really good at healing, it could have been like 3 weeks. Probably going to be closer to 9 or 10 weeks.
John, what do you recommend she does? Because she can't do physical activity, but she wants to keep herself busy. Would you have recommendations?
Yeah, I think you should do Sudoku puzzles.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking of leaving the country.
Sudoku will exercise your brain at least.
Yeah. My brain gets exercised. I was thinking about writing a book or leaving the country or writing a book in a different country.
Say what?
Well, you can't do the show.
Well, there's got to be priorities.
What would your book be about?
Does this count as long-term disability?
No.
I think you already had that.
Oh, this is...
Sorry.
Short-term disability?
No, it's just a little hiccup. I mean, in the big scheme of life, it's, you know, a couple
You're
of
a world-class athlete, Aime. This is what you guys deal with. Does You're on the IR.
What? Okay, remember how we wanted a structured settlement?
Uh-huh.
I was running, and I was thinking about work, because I was trying to be creative. Steve said, think of something creative. So I wasn't looking because I was thinking. I stepped on the gumball. I hurt my ankle. Can I
get a structured settlement?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, do you need cash now?
I do.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you have a moderate to severe ankle injury?
I do. I actually do.
By the way, I love the medical, the drug commercials when it's something like eczema or something. And people, they have actors describing their ailment. I have moderate to severe eczema. Yeah. Like, nobody says ever that they have moderate to severe.
How are
they either
you?
Say I have moderate or I have severe. They don't say I have moderate to severe eczema.
It's on a scale.
It's on a scale.
It's on a scale.
But even better, have you ever gone to your doctor and they get done and they say, now, Chris, is there anything else? Well, yes, I wanted to ask you, is Trezolite right for me?
Yeah.
Is Sorensanon right for me, doc?
Look, the drug commercial money, we'll take it. We'll take it, whatever. But it is one of the worst laws, I think, that was ever passed.
Yeah.
That they've allowed drug companies to air commercials.
Yeah.
It's one of the worst. Because people
How would you know if you had the disease?
Well, here's what the doctor's
for. The drug
for.
Might kill you. I mean, they tell you on the commercial that, you know.
Well, no, here's what it should be.
If you have severe bleeding, stop taking the drug.
There's this new one, lower loss of lower limbs.
Yeah.
This is how it's supposed to work.
Hardly a good marketing tactic.
You're feeling something that doesn't, something's not right. You go to the doctor says, well, there's this new drug, maybe you should try it. It should not be the other way around.
Yeah, right.
Where you go in and say, hey, tell me about this slim muzzle men.
It's crazy.
Tell me about this.
It's crazy.
Can I have it?
And
it's
so,
just, it's nuts. It is absolutely insane that's what we do here.
Yes, I agree. And since we're on it, and Amy brought it up, I can't help. This is my regular rant because it's unbelievable to me. But I have a structured settlement and I need cash now.
Call J.D. Wentworth.
J.G.
877-CASH-NOW.
Yeah. Okay. Do you know what a structured settlement is, John?
I do, buddy.
Okay. You have to have been. Do you know what a structured settlement is?
I do not.
Okay.
Right?
A structured settlement is something that comes as a result of an injury or some type of a lawsuit. Okay.
Yeah.
You were a part of a class action lawsuit, or maybe you went someplace, broke your leg, et cetera, and you have a settlement. So there are enough people who have structured settlements and who've been in lawsuits that are getting money that JD, you know
JG.
Who?
JG.
JG.
JG. Can advertise during football.
Yeah.
Football, the most valuable time there is to get, you know, blah, 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 to get advertisements. They can do that. I don't know about you guys, but I've never sued anybody in my life.
Well, I'm about to.
I don't know anybody who has a structured settlement.
What is an unstructured settlement?
So you get, it's a lump sum. You won $5 million in your lawsuit. You can get $5 million now. It's like a lottery. Or you can structure it over a series of years, and that's why you need cash now, because you only have $100,000 available to you. You have a structured settlement. And
you're
you
suing
need
somebody?
Cash now.
I thought
I was going to sue the company.
You can't sue anybody for your crappy ankle.
I was working
she
in
can
my
sue
head.
The gumball trees.
What about the gumball guy? The property owner.
No, you have to sue God then.
Well, no, I think
because he created the gumball trees.
I think you can't sue a city. Really, it's hard to.
Yeah.
Sue a city.
Sovereign immunity. They.
I thought it was City Hall.
You can't fight City Hall.
Oh.
Yeah.
Can you believe there's that many people with structured settlements that they can advertise?
Can you believe it?
Well, there are now.
Some people go, hey, doc, I've had a slight cough for 2 weeks. And he goes, oh, we'll take this new medicine. And it's like, side effects include permanent yellowing of the eyes, an uncontrollable urge to gamble, and loss of lower limbs. And you say, okay, it's worth it. People are saying that.
Really?
That means loss of lower limbs
loss
has
happened. Loss of
lower
limbs. Somebody did
your
that in the trial.
Your leg falls off?
Yeah.
How come we don't say upper limbs?
We don't ever.
We always say lower limb. We never say upper limbs.
Well, the upper limbs are never touching the ground.
I think that the lower limbs
so
have
the lower
hardest
limbs,
circulatory
lower limbs are lifting
problem.
All that weight out there. The upper limbs, I mean, you know.
You know what? If I had.
Unless you play the piano, they really aren't.
If I made, if I had like a medical company that provided, you know, like the fake arms and hands, call it upper limits.
Oh my God!
Okay.
Now you.
Oh my God!
Are you sure your Jingle All the Way is not your favorite movie too?
It's a great movie.
Yeah,
I do feel love
like
Sinbad.
These are. I feel like I was with her earlier this week. It's like sitting with John for dad jokes the whole time.
You know,
I'm like, how can such a young, vibrant woman sound like an old man?
There was
all
this,
the time.
There
are you, who are you calling an old man?
Well, I mean, I'm not talking
you
about you.
You double stepped in it.
An old man. I'm not that old.
I mean, you're not.
No, I'm barely older than you, Ron.
That's right.
And, you know, P-Joke.
But your
there,
jokes
jokes
and your humor is kind of based
epic.
In,
you
like,
do have
a lot of people think.
You have older sensibilities, though. Older
well,
than
I'm
you.
An old soul.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm an old soul. In fact, as I was commenting this morning, yes. had I been born 100 years earlier,
yes.
you'd have been
my corpulent body structure would be a symbol of status.
And prosperity.
Yes.
Did you hear the word he used?
Yeah.
Corpulent.
Yeah.
Which was another word for husky.
Yeah.
Or,
we couldn't do the corpulent section.
Husky, what's the other word we came up with today?
I don't know.
Portly?
Portly.
Yes. Do you have a portly
section? Now they
now the corpulent. That's a word you don't hear very
Big Lou calls it porky.
Yeah. They call you a thick boy now.
Is that it?
Come here, yeah. Tubby.
They go, he thick. That's what they say.
That's what they say yeah. now. Is that what they're talking about?
Yeah, they say he thick with two C's. Wow.
Yeah. Do they have a thick section at the mall now? Like you're like, man, show me the thick.
How embarrassed would you be going to the store? They have the big and tall section.
Right.
But instead of big and tall, thick. It just said thick.
Well, how about when it used to say husky?
I
mean, it's that's
it's
rude.
Really insane. When I was very young, I do remember that because I remember hearing people talk about going to the husky section. And now that you bring it up, it's insane
yes.
that's what we called it, and there were signs for it.
Yeah, husky.
Yeah. Well, in running.
Well, you're a little husky boy. There's your section.
Come here, Butch.
What did they call it for girls? Did they have a husky
petite.
Section? For girls, was it petite?
Well, there's petite, and then I don't
big,
know if they
had
a
big boned sign.
Everything. There was a lot of big boned phrases.
Great
yeah.
personalities.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Noah! This morning,
here's
you know,
the great personality section. I need
this is not very people. Nice, but I was talking to Noah this morning at Coral's Coffee.
I gotta go.
I may have to take over this project.
Can you imagine
the great
if you go in and say, "Do you have a
good personality section?
I need a size 50 pant." Like, oh, and they're in the good personality section.
Noah told me that this morning. You know my good friend Noah?
Yeah.
Quarrelsome Coffee.
Oh my God.
And I was like, ugh. And we were just talking about something in standards for beauty. And I'm like, I can't compete with booby leggy ladies. And she's like, it's okay if you have boobies and legs. She's like, you've got a great personality.
There it is.
She pulled the great Holy personality God. Card on me, and I called her out, and she just started laughing. She's like, you're so much more than that. You've got a really good personality.
All the girls love you. That.
Oh, my.
This has gone off the rails slightly.
Oh, yeah. That never happens.
No. Wow.
Do you guys get in trouble after Friday?
Usually,
when we're here?
Yeah.
No, we run out the door so Steve can't
yeah,
talk to us.
Okay. All right.
You know, you have these two political experts in there. Like, well, they derail it. It's always Michael or John.
It's
it
Michael.
Is.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't John.
I'm here.
Hancock. I'm here for the content.
Oh,
you.
Yeah. Elevate the level of conversation.
You are a train here conductor's worst nightmare.
Why?
You derail everything.
No. I've come to, you know. Experience some what we like to call intellectual simpatico around uh-huh. here.
Simpatico, but your vocabulary today has been quite impressive.
Well, thank you. I'm here to elevate the
you
level
yeah.
of dialogue.
Are you?
I'm the voice of St. Louis. I'm not talking about fat people being good personalities.
We don't use that word fat.
I'm not here to talk about Sinbad. I'm here to talk about the issues
you
of the day.
You brought up Sinbad.
That are,
you did bring up
I
Sinbad.
I don't recall that. And I'm not here to talk Deep about
thick.
The past. I'm here to elevate the level of dialogue on the Chris and Amy
I think
show.
The next time you preach, you should bring up Jingle All the Way and bring up Sinbad. And you
well,
should
no.
go, and speaking of Sinbad, sin is bad.
You could oh.
give your sermon.
There it is. Done. Done.
I'll come to that one.
Sin
will you?
Yeah.
It'll be in January.
Is it?
Really?
The
yes.
next one's in January?
Yeah, yep.
You are a very talented man.
He is.
You're a Renaissance man.
He is. And he's back on the horse, guys. He won at snooker yesterday, so
wow.
he's back on
oh,
the horse.
Go. Are you going to go play again today? Or
we are.
I was hoping not, but apparently we're going to.
Just
for
a little bit. I got to pick Junior up at the airport this
oh,
afternoon.
Oh, Junior's
nice.
In.
Yeah.
For Christmas.
Yes.
All the way through?
Yeah.
New Year? Nice.
Yeah, he's in for a week. He'll be with us next week.
Is he going to come in?
Oh, he'll come. Well, if he wakes up in time.
Yeah.
Boys?
As long as you don't take his pants.
Oh, I gave them back to him. Last time he was in town, I gave him his pants back, so I won't make that mistake again.
when John Hancock wore his son's pants.
I just remember him walking into the office.
And his son's 6 inches shorter.
I was like, John, why are your pants so short? They're up to his shins.
How did you not notice?
Well, I mean, you know, I get dressed in the dark because I don't want to wake my wife up.
You don't ever look at your lower limbs?
I don't look at myself, period.
Your ankles didn't feel cold?
No. I mean, I literally have a gap. I've got two mirrors in my bedroom, in my bathroom.
Yeah.
And I literally stand between them when I get dressed in the morning.
that's not where you're supposed to. Well, just put up a mirror there.
He's got to. He's saying he avoids
that. No. Yeah. I'm saying fill the gap.
You've got a great personality.
You have a great personality.
We all have great personalities. That's why we're in radio.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
See you, boys.
Bye.
John Hancock, Michael Kelly, the Chris and Amy Show continues after this.
Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
All right, I know you didn't see this because this happened alone to me in my apartment at 2 a.m. last night. So, long story short, it's really, really windy outside last night, and I didn't know it. But my apartment has like a tin roof. I don't know, a flat tin roof. It's just a weird roof, and I'm on the top floor, so whatever hits the roof, I hear, and it is loud. Well, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I guess a neighbor had just gotten home, so I heard footsteps. But then I heard like thud, thud, and then like kind of like a whirring and a jostling. And I am really close to my door, and I'm like, oh my gosh, someone's trying to break into my apartment. So I sat up in bed and I was like, I was like, Amy, no one's trying to break in. But then I heard the noise of the door jostling and then what sounded like the lock being jostled. So I jump out of bed, forgetting I have a sprained ankle and I have slippery socks on a wood floor. So I jump out of bed, slip, my ankle gives way, I slip completely, fall on my knee and hip, I'm on the ground, I hear the jostling, and I yell, hey, hey, to scare the bad guy away, and I crawl towards the door, and I make sure it's still locked, and I look through the peephole, and no one is there. And then I hear the noise again, like they're breaking in, and I realize it's the wind with branches and different things hitting my apartment, whistling through the, I don't know, the tin and the metal and the pipes and whatever it is. So now my ankle's on fire, and it's worse than it was yesterday when I got it looked at. Now I have a bruised knee, and the humiliation of my neighbors probably think that someone was trying to beat me up last night because I started yelling, hey, hey, and I like crawled to the door, and they heard a huge thud. I fell so hard. This is the beginning of the end.
Yeah, I did not see any of that, Amy. I don't live where you live.
No, I
don't think anybody saw it.
Nobody saw it.
Hey, did you see this new study that says humming is good for stress?
I don't care.
Yeah, you want to hum?
No.
It would make you feel better.
While I'm dying on the floor of my apartment?
Yeah, a piece from Psychology Today says that it is a simple technique that is good for reducing your stress. It produces vibrations that ripple through your body, which stimulates the vagus nerve.
Yep.
Or the vagus nerve. I don't know how you...
It's vagus.
Is it vague? How do you know that?
Because I have vasovagal syndrome, which is why I pass out.
They say humming can lower stress and heart rate while increasing heart rate variability. So how about that?
That's what I'm going to try to do because I actually talked to my doctor about that yesterday. The vagus nerve because it flares up and I pass out.
Have you talked to your doctor about the power of humming? You shouldn't
hum. Side effects may include uncontrollable urge to gamble.
It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.